all the different things. And when he does right by his feet, when he settles his feet, he can be an accurate quarterback. When he's not perfect with his feet, he can miss in embarrassing ways. And so I think that as you look at him going forward, A, he has to play on the move. That's what he does best. And B, he has to be almost perfect with his football.
Third and one. Come on with a pistol. Trubisky. So it's the first time they line up in that formation, and maybe the last time.
Now that's terrible. You can't run option football like that. If you're the quarterback, you got to take it to that unblocked guy and get about that close and then pitch it. If you come down here and stop about 3 steps into it, he can play both of them. You cannot run that play that way.
Now you've got Chase Daniel has come into the game at quarterback. He's the backup, longtime backup, 11 years in the league. So, for whatever reason, here's Chase Daniel.
I don't see anybody over there looking at this.
Neither. So what is this telling you?
Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, NBC Sunday Night Football. We also talked to Al earlier in the game, and he told us what the confusion was like in that booth because they were shocked that Mitch was out and Chase was in, and they didn't know why. You heard it there.
Can't look at you without giggling.
I've got chocolate on my shirt. I've got avocado on my face. I don't know what happened.
What happened to your shirt?
Well, I mean, my shirt,
it was a chocolate bar is all it was.
It was a protein bar.
What'd you do? Did you smear it and rub it all on your shirt?
I lost the fight with it. I don't know.
I didn't know there was a fight going on.
I didn't know I was wrestling it either, but it's all over my shirt now. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every morning when I send my 9-year-old to school, I have to clean off his face from the chocolate chip pancakes.
Me too. Yeah, I do the same exact
thing. We're
going
to have to start doing the same thing for you.
From your face or from Mason and Braxton's face?
My face. Yeah, you call me food face. It's not for nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right, it was a rough go of it for our Bears, for us last night watching that game on Sunday Night Football. Defense played pretty well. Let's talk to Akeem Hicks, as we do each and every Monday. He is ready to go, and he's brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealer, the Sportsbook at Ameristar Casino Hotel East Chicago, now open and accepting bets today. Brewhouse Legend Snack Nut Mixes, White Claw Hard Seltzer, NBC Sports Chicago, the exclusive home for the Chicago Bulls, Blackhawks, and White Sox. Akeem, I saw you from the cameras cheering on your team. What was that ride home like for a team that really must have taken a gut punch in L.A.?
Man, the ride home was it was a quiet one. You know, it's one of self-reflection. We just got to find a way to get out of this hole. And it's tough to see. It's tough to see some of the struggles that our team goes through. But that's the sport of football, man. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. And right now we're fighting to get back up.
How would you describe your feelings? I mean, standing on the sidelines as one of the elite players and veterans on this team, obviously you can't play. Is there a feeling of helplessness? Is there a feeling of anger, disappointment? What is it?
Well, for the team, we want to live up to our capabilities. We want to be what we thought we were going to be going into the season. We want to be in the space where we feel like we can come in every week and have a legitimate chance to win. And unfortunately, we haven't been in that position as of late. For me, sitting back and having to watch, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's tough to see my boy Eddie Jackson out there fighting and wanting to win so bad and diving to make every play that he can and ripping the ball, literally willing our defense to win. You know, it's tough to see our guys out there and battling and not being able to come out with a victory.
It also looked like Roquan Smith had one of his better games as well. Overall, defensively, were you pretty pleased with what you saw?
Definitely, we'll always respect the product that our defense puts out on the field, because just knowing these guys and how passionate they are about playing the sport, I know that they're going to give that max effort and have that drive to win every game. Do we have places that we can be better at? Yes, but ultimately based on the situations that we're in, I think that we're playing pretty good football.
We're talking to Akeem Hicks. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. And when you were acquired, when Danny Trevathan was acquired early in Ryan Pace's tenure, you sort of set the foundation as veterans for this defense and this team in general. And you went through a couple lean years, Akeem. And the one thing under Fox that you guys never did, no matter how bad it got, was quit. We were talking to one of our Bears guys earlier and said that this is the time where some guys may check out. How do you ensure that that does not happen?
That's a character thing. That's pretty simple. It's all about character. It's all about the type of guy that you have in the locker room. And I think that we've shown to be a pretty together and, unified team and collectively always putting the interest of the team over our own. And so at this point in the season, even though things aren't going the right way, based on the character and the group of guys that we have, I don't feel like we're going to have an issue with that.
How would you describe what happened in the final 3.5 minutes of that game last night? Were you aware that Mitch had hurt himself and a change was going to happen, or was it something that you were down further on the sideline and had no idea what was going on?
Yeah. You know, we're two different sides of the bench. You know, we're about 30 yards down the way, and we're working on the things that we got to get done defensively. And right. So I wasn't privy to really what they had going on down there.
Were you surprised when you saw it?
Things happen during the course of the game. Guys go up, guys come down. It's just how it goes. Surprise wouldn't be the word. Was something happening on the field? And were guys wondering what the situation was? Yes, but, it's football.
Do you still have confidence in Mitch Trubisky as the quarterback?
Most definitely. Most definitely. There will never be a waiver of confidence in any one of my teammates because I know what they put into this game. That's the game of football, nothing is promised, right? I didn't know I was going to be out for 8 weeks. Danny didn't know that he was going to have the same injury 2-3 weeks later. We didn't know that at this point in the season that we would be 4-6. Things happen. It's a game of football, man.
I know how much you love to play, but with that said, this is also a business. If, in fact, we get to the point where you are able to come back with a game or two, is that going to be a tough decision for you to make, or are you coming back regardless of where the team is record-wise?
Ultimately, it's about whether your body is healthy or not. You know, you want to be able to play to the best of your ability. And then the second part of that equation is, you know, what do your coaches want of you? What does the team need? And what can you give? You know, so there's too many variables in that situation to know what's going to be the best decision. Right now, I'm focused on getting my body healthy.
Are you, like, I mean, this is an odd question, so I apologize for it, but in an odd way, are you flattered by the fact that so many people are saying some of the reason why Khalil Mack hasn't been the game wrecker that he hasn't been recently is truly because Akeem Hicks isn't there? And Khalil Mack, as great a player as he is, he needs Akeem Hicks out there. I mean, I know Khalil is a great player on his own, but is it flattering to know that people feel that way about your presence and your ability?
It's awesome to be respected and to not be forgotten, and to for people to want to see you put a great product, you know, out there on the field at your position, playing at the highest level. But the simple fact is, Khalil Mack was Khalil Mack before he came to Chicago. Mm-hmm. He was a defensive MVP before he came to Chicago. He has been a great player in this league since he stepped on the field. And so for there to be any type of, who's this and who's that and what he can bring when he's on the field and what he can't bring, it's kind of silly. He's a great player. He's an elite player. And the only reason why people are jumping on his back now is because the team is having trouble.
Yeah, and I know you're all frustrated because you want to win. That's number one. But is he more frustrated because not only are you not winning, but he's not really scratching in the box score?
It's collective. So in each play, during the course of a football game, there are going to be guys that have a super hard job, and there are guys that are going to be protected, you know, whether it be defensively or offensively. Are we going to run this guy up the field in order to get this guy open, or defensively? Are we going to put a bunch of pressure on this guy in order to make everybody else's job easier? So, you know, there are times during the course of the football game where Mac has to take the brunt end of what the defense is asking in order for other guys to be able to play their job better. And so he's battling right now. He's a warrior, and he's going to fight through whatever he has to fight through. And he's also, what's beautiful about him as a player is that with all the talent that he has, he's still a great teammate. You know what I mean? He has no problem taking, you know, the brunt end of whatever the play may be in order for our whole defense to be successful.
On a lighter note, what did you do to celebrate your birthday?
I had some friends in town. And they came to the game and supported. And that was all that I needed. And I actually got a really cool present from my friend. Shout out to Michael Dorton, one of my longest friends. He gave me a pair of customized cleats that you guys will be seeing in the game.
Did you say Michael Jordan is your friend?
Dorton.
Oh, Dorton. I thought you said Michael Jordan.
Me too.
I was gonna be like, you said Michael Jordan?
I thought they were Air Jordan cleats.
No, Dorton. His name is D-O-R. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But anyway, he gave me a great present of cleats, and you guys will see him when I get back.
Okay.
All right, that's good. Do you regret at all tweeting about the Myles Garrett situation?
Absolutely not. Not in the slightest. Oh, man. You know what? I thought you guys might ask me about this.
Yeah.
I completely understand that Myles Garrett was wrong for slinging that helmet. There is no reason in the world anybody should be lead or melee, whatever the word is, with a helmet, right? When the situation started, I think people looked past who was the antagonist in the situation. Rudolph was blatantly trying to pull his helmet off while he's on the ground because he's upset that he's got sacked. I'm not sure if the score had anything to do with his frustrations. But I just, I'm a defender, man. I'm a defensive player. And so I know when the pretty boy quarterback is trying to win one or get one over on a guy. And that was clearly the situation. And Garrett didn't take it. Did he overreact by hitting him with a helmet? Yes. But I don't think that Rudolph's actions should be excused.
No, and we hit that. Look, and what you said, if I run up on you, Akeem, I'm getting my ass kicked regardless. So I know I'm not running up on you or anybody, really, for that matter. Yeah. But like, isn't it taboo for a football player to use that helmet as a weapon, even if, you know, the other guy was antagonizing everything?
There's no reason in the world anybody should be hit with a helmet. The game of football is already violent enough. We don't need guys getting their faces crushed in with helmets, right? We completely understand. And I think that, you know, I think that's a sentiment that everybody could accept. Everybody is on the same page. You should not hit anyone with a helmet, whether you're on Garrett's side or Rudolph's. The fact that Rudolph was pushing the fire, because remember, there was a point of separation. After his helmet was taken off, they were separated once again. When it started over, was when Rudolph ran around the two, 168 and 163 offensive linemen that were pushing, getting them apart. Rudolph runs around and tries to start the fight back up. And that's when everything spins out of control.
Do you have an opinion, Akeem, on how long he should be suspended? I know it's indefinite now, and the Players Association is appealing this. What do you think it's going to ultimately be?
Man, I couldn't even begin to speculate. I would simply say this, and I guess I'm playing the role of defense for Myles Garrett, but I would say that where is actions wrong? Was he taken overboard? Did his emotions run over? Was he out of control? Yes, he should never have hit him with that helmet. But the fact is that there were multiple parties that lost their cool and that did things that their mother wouldn't want to see them do on national TV. Okay? And there should be penalties for everyone. Should some be more severe than others? Most definitely. But I do think that somebody is getting away a little bit clean or more clean than, you know, the rest.
While
and
we're
that would be the for the quarterback.
Yeah, while we're on the topic of NFL hot-button issues, what were your thoughts on what went down with Kaepernick's workout on Saturday?
Man, I don't have a whole bunch of information on that. Do I think that it was time for things to be, a little bit more settled in that situation? Should he have gotten a proper chance or evaluation? I definitely think so. Are there quarterbacks in the NFL today that aren't as good as Colin Kaepernick? Most definitely. And so I think that makes you ask the question, why is it that he doesn't have a job? Am I happy that he got a chance to work out and a possibility of him being on an NFL team? Yes. But other than that, I don't have a lot of information.
Good stuff today, Akeem. We appreciate it. Keep up the rehab, and we thank you for being there. Thanks.
Thanks, Akeem.
Anytime. This was a good chat today.
Yeah, it was.
Good,
yes.
You got to get a little bit deeper like this
yeah.
next week.
Listen, the serious conversations sometimes are the best ones.
I'm telling you. You guys be good over there.
All right, you too, Akeem. There you go. Happy belated. Akeem Hicks. A lot of topics there. And good stuff on Khalil Mack, good stuff on the character of the team, and, you know, something that Dan said to us, Dan Weider, is look out here. There could be some fractures. There could be a Pace Nagy fracture when it comes to Mitch. Could there be a Nagy Mitch fracture here?
Pace speaks to Jeff Joniak, right, on the flagship?
I believe.
Occasionally?
I think weekly?
Yeah, weekly?
He does pregame, I believe, usually, so it's before the game.
I sure wish he would talk. Even if it's just middle of the year, just a sort of a state of the Bears in the middle of the year or during the bye week or something. I know I'm not going cap on you and telling you that I want, you know, everyone to be open and honest and everything like that. I do think it would benefit everyone to hear from the general manager during the season. For the media to ask him questions. Do you agree?
Yeah. I don't know what he'd be willing to tell you.
No, right.
It may be an exercise of dodging questions.
Of course.
But to make yourself available to questions and then dodge them, I mean, I've never really thought that accomplishes much other than, you know, we can say, well, he met the media. I mean, listen, a lot of it is just yapping.
Yeah.
The actions are more important.
I still think,
you know, Miller and I had an interesting conversation.
But wouldn't you want to sit Ryan Pace down and say, Ryan, you put everything into this quarterback. Everything. The coach isn't getting anything out of him. He's not doing anything that we thought he would do.
I think that conversation, for him to answer those questions, to do it in season, that's a difficult answer. To ask him more, hey, is Mitch where you thought he'd be at this point? Other issues like that. I think, yes. And would I like to have him answer questions? Of course, yes. The likelihood of that happening, I don't know that I don't know what you'd get out of it. Meller and I were having this conversation as we were using the bathroom.
Bathroom talk.
We're having football bathroom talk, and
that's where the Bears talk deserves to be these days.
That's true. That's true. And Jeff, I think we kind of came to the same conclusion with regard to whether or not, you know, Pace would like to see Mitch sidelined for a while.
Was the shutdown? Do you think?
Because I've said 1,000 times today that I don't think you shut him down. You play. You address the adversity. You respond to it, and that'll define you.
And I agreed with you completely.
Yeah.
From a football sense, it doesn't make any sense to shut him down for the season where this organization is at. However, where Ryan Pace sits, I could see a scenario where, look, Nagy is coaching for his job and he needs his offense to thrive. So I could see why he wants Mitchell Trubisky out there. However, I could see, as Dan Weider talked about, this is a situation where fracturing could occur. Ryan Pace says, look, the kid needs to clear his head mentally. Let's just, in order for what's best for the organization, let's shut him down. Let him get his head right. That way he can start fresh. That also buys Ryan Pace some time because no matter what he does, he's tied to Mitch Trubisky next year. He has no outs. We've outlined this all throughout the season now. He cannot do anything. He doesn't have the draft capital. He doesn't have salary cap room. He's tied to Mitch Trubisky
so
no matter
Jeff's
what
point
he
is,
does.
Listen, he's coming back regardless, so maybe the best thing to do to kind of mitigate some of the disastrous feeling that is pulsing through this city is to out of sight, out of mind him.
Ooh.
Is to take him out of the equation.
None
of us are.
None of us are.
But could you see a scenario where Ryan Pace does this?
This is where I don't understand what you guys constantly... Maybe I'm just not invested. And so I would never know how he feels. But you're always like, Ryan Pace, and Yurko brought this up today. Ryan Pace is tied to Trubisky. Ryan Pace is tied to Trubisky. If Trubisky fails, he fails. Not if the team wins. Now he's tied to the Bears. And now he's got to take the fork in the road that isn't down Trubisky Avenue. And now you've got, now you messed up. Every GM messes up. But it's how quickly you can fix it is how we're going to judge you on it. If you think, like, what's the worst mistake? The worst mistake is continuing to go down that road that has no outlet. And you've already exasperated one problem by compounding it and going, believing in this guy. The best way to get out of it is to find a new way to go and to get back to winning because you got a different quarterback.
I got what you're saying, but he didn't hit a pothole. He didn't, like, graze a guardrail. I mean, he flipped this thing over.
All right,
he's in a ditch.
Go to Gerber, you know, and then fix up your car and get back on the road.
And as Meller said, listen, you're not going to be able to separate from him next year anyway. What is the cap hit? He's a $10 million cap hit against you if you're getting rid of him.
You could still... look, bring him back again in a quasi-competition. Play whoever you are every preseason game. You have to. And now he's learned anything from this year, it's the preseason couldn't hurt.
Name a situation where, I mean, other than Josh Rosen, but... you don't have the ability to make up for that mistake in the manner that the Cardinals did because they have the number one overall
pick. Kyler Murray's not sitting out there for you.
Right, and you don't have the draft capital to make the change. He's stuck. Mitch is coming back.
Nobody thought the Arizona Cardinals, when they failed on Matt Leinart, would find gold in Kurt Warner. Everyone thought Kurt Warner was done. He was concussed. He sucked in New York. And I know he's going to the Hall of Fame, and is there? But still,
you put Kurt Warner behind this offensive line.
Just whoever it is, you've got to get creative. It won't sound appetizing on paper, but maybe there are ways to rectify it with someone else's trash turning into your treasure. Your Alex Smith, somehow, some way. I don't know what the answer is there, but. But you're going to have to move off of him. You're going to have to come to terms and say to yourself, at the very least, Mitch is to win the job.
Well, start competing now.
So if it's Andy Dalton, if it's somebody.
So Mitch, to me, as long as the doctors give him the approval, I don't sit him to clear his head.
Do you want Mitch bench? Do you think that could help at all? Waddle thinks it's stupid. 332-3776. What did you think of what happened yesterday with the injury? Do you believe Matt Nagy when he says it was 100% on injury? I don't buy that. We'll get to all that with Mark Jean Greco coming up next.
Hey, you want to fall in love with your home all over again? Well, Design First can make that happen. Design First Builders is a custom home remodeler that handles every step of your remodeling project. Joanne from Schaumburg said Design First completely remodeled our kitchen almost 3 years ago, and I still love it every time I walk into it. Call and schedule your free in-home consultation to see how they can help you turn your dreams into a reality. Call 630-250-7777 or visit designfirstbuilders.com. Design First Builders, remodeling homes and building relationships.
Do you go with Mitch or do you give him, quote, a mental break? Pick the brain of Mr. Mental himself, Mark Jean Greco, next. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
What's the status moving forward? Is he going to be practicing this week, and is he in jeopardy missing Sunday?
We're working through that, yep.
But if he's healthy, there's no question he's your starting quarterback.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There you go, but there are many people who believe that Mitch should get a mental health break.
I'm not one of them.
That's what I need. I definitely need that.
I knew it. I called you Mr. Mental before.
But you know the difference? You are going to be the backbone of the ABC 7 sports department for the next 3 years. So if you say you need a mental break, then we'll give you a mental break knowing that you are our future on the sports department. I'm not so sure they can make the same statement up at Halas Hall that Mitch is their undeniable future at the quarterback position. So at this point, as we're trying to evaluate things, we don't get any. We don't get any timeouts.
Tommy, what do? They have no draft picks. There's nobody out there but Andy Dalton. I mean, where do you go from here? Look at this offensive line as well. You paid all these guys. You know,
yeah, I mean,
it's a dead end now. It's a disaster. It's officially unfixable.
This thing is not listen, but in all seriousness, I mean, this thing is not going to. It's not like you take somebody. A better quarterback is going to make you better offense. There's no question about that. But a better offense isn't going to make your offensive line block better in certain situations in the run game. It's not going to make your wide receivers catch the ball better more frequently. It's not going to make your tight end position a whole lot better. He can lift the play of some guys, a better quarterback. There's no doubt about that. But he does not provide the deodorant for the overall stench inside that offensive
line. No question about it. And look, you have to take Matt Nagy for his word. Obviously,
do you? Wait,
yes,
why?
I do. Listen,
why?
Listen. Because
I don't believe that it was 100% because of injury. If Mitch was playing better, Mitch would have finished the game.
I don't think so.
Oh, give me a break. Come on now, Mark.
I was just like you last night on Twitter going out of my mind. But, you know, I listened to him today. Do you think, I've been defending Matt Nagy too long. His play calling is atrocious now. I've got to join the fray. I mean, this guy, what happened in 1 year's time? Was it just lucky magic last year? Now it's a disaster on all fronts. General manager, head coach, quarterback. But I have to take him for his word today, except where there is still a little cloud of doubt is the time frame. And he was pushed on it by several people today. That 3rd-and-1 pistol option.
Oh, terrible.
Are you kidding me? Why would you call
quarterback,
that knowing you got a quarterback who's hurt?
And by the way, your running back has an ankle injury. But I mean,
but I still would have given it to Montgomery up the middle.
All right, sure.
But still, it's a total and lost in all this. You got to go get another kicker, and you got to do it this week,
Waddle
and you have to audition guy. You don't think so?
Well, I listen. I get it, but that's kind of the pound of flesh response. It really is, because who are you going to get?
Oh no, I'm not putting the two things together.
I'm saying
if you get a new kicker, we're going to lay off the quarterback coaching situation. I'm just saying, in addition to,
but what
you
is
have
that?
This problem?
What is that? Are you looking for the guy that will be your answer going forward? Because there are a lot of teams out there that are looking for that guy, and this is a hard time of year to find that guy. Or maybe if you truly believe that Eddie Pinheiro does have some talent, but right now he's in a bad place, mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever the case may be, Eddie Pinheiro may be the kicker that is available to you that has the most overall talent, and all you need to do with his help is rehabilitate him. You're going to have a kicking competition in the offseason regardless again.
But I'm saying, let's call this the offseason now. The season's over. They're not going to the playoffs, so just try a bunch of different things. Try out a bunch of kickers.
Well, who's out there?
Yeah, don't they know all the guys who are? They've had them all in their building.
True. Like I said, it's a dead end. There's no answer. There's no solution.
He sold me on this because I was in your side. Because I get it. They're not playing for the playoffs.
No.
Is another missed kick really going to hurt you this year?
No.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Maybe Pinheiro can salvage himself. And at the very least, like Waddle says, you go through this exercise again in the offseason. But there's no. Now, look.
Well,
if there's
that's
a
the
guy
case,
who
then
falls through the cracks that you love right now,
bring him
but
in.
The odds are he's not out there because you've seen them all.
Okay, then send him out there again for another 48, 47 yarder instead of going for it on fourth
yes,
down.
Yes, definitely. Yes,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, it's just
he screwed that up too yesterday.
Yeah.
After he misses early, you have
just
virtually
stay with
the
him
same
then. If that's your argument, just stay with
I'm
him.
With
let,
you.
Let him kick his way out of it. Look, to me, Eddie Pinheiro, nice kid, great story at the outset, strong leg, zero accuracy, and folds under pressure. That's where he is right now.
I can't believe Deshaun Watson had a high ankle sprain yesterday. There have been all these guys playing hurt with knee injuries, coming back quickly. I bring up some other guys who have had really significant injuries, Mark. Last year, Aaron Rodgers in the opening game against the Bears. And you're telling me that if Mitch isn't playing better, that that you believe, Nagy, that he goes to Chase Daniel? There's no freaking way.
Look, I might concede it's a subconscious move on Nagy's part. It's a perfect built-in excuse. I get that. And Mitch was physically, emotionally, mentally shaken. You could see it on his face. It's like, oh my God, I have hit rock bottom now.
What did they say? What was the hug? What do you think Nagy was saying? Take us inside.
Well, Nagy said that he said, look it, you're my guy.
Now, I wanted to know what Mark Jean Greco thought.
He said, okay, listen, you got a hip injury. No, I don't have a hip. No, you have a hip injury. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, hip injury. Ready, break. Okay, hip injury on two. Could have been it right there.
But, I mean, Chase Daniel was standing there drinking like a cup of coffee or something.
Chase Daniel looked like he had two hip pointers. And does he not know what's going on during the game?
I'm with Sylvie. Like, listen, I'm not denying that the hip, you know, he had a hip injury. And I take them at their word. I do also believe that if there was more confidence in Mitch, listen, you're down 10 with 3 minutes and 24 seconds to go, and your season is on the line. I mean, that's it. You lose this game, you're 4-6, and the majority of people believe that you are officially out. And that's when, I mean,
I hear you. I absolutely hear you. It's the most valid point there is. You have a chance with 3:20 left to somehow salvage this game, albeit
that could be
a
the Mitch arrival game if he's playing well. It's national TV. He's playing well against the Rams. He's a little banged up, but he leads the Bears down on the game-winning drive. Yeah. Listen, he had no hope with Mitch.
Listen, it's speculation. Yeah. I admit it. I'm speculating, but I agree with what Sylvie's saying. If he's playing better and the coach is confident in him and the kid is confident and showing confidence, I just feel like it's likely that they leave him in for the final 3:25 or whatever it was because their season is officially on the line.
I'll go with that. I agree with you. By the way, if you were a hockey player, you'd play the whole game and overtime and then play a back-to-back.
And then give a good interview afterwards,
yeah,
right?
And not tell anybody he's hurt till the end of the season when they take off both his legs and have to, you know, re-socket the guy.
Let's go to Shirley in Fox Lake. Shirley, say hi to Mark Jean Greco.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Shirley, haven't heard from you.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I listen to you guys all day at work. I listen to ESPN from the time I get in at 8 o'clock until you guys are done.
Thank you, Shirley.
And you know what? I just got to say this. What happened to blaming the coaches? Last year, we had Vic Fangio. This year, we don't have Vic Fangio. And look at how our defense played. Now we got Chuck Pagano. Not that Chuck is bad, but the defense is playing differently. Is it not because of Chuck? And Matt Nagy, he didn't even have to worry about the offense. The defense. All he had to worry about was the offense. Now we got a line that can't even block. We got wide receivers that can't even catch, and everybody just blames Mitch.
Shirley, I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think there are plenty of people, including us, that have raised more than a curious eye at what the coach has done all season long.
Okay, well, I haven't heard anybody say,
you said,
hey,
Shirley, you said you listen morning, noon, and night.
You're lying to us.
All right, come on, Tom. We know you love Cincinnati, and look at them. They're in the hole.
Well, that's true. I can't give you an answer for the Bengals. They're horrible.
Let's sign Andy Dalton.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, come on. What about those offensive coaches?
Why does Mitch need
so many coaches? He doesn't need so many.
You want to cut some coaches? That's what you want?
You just made your own argument to agree with us. It's not just Mitch.
Let the heads
it's
roll. Mitch,
it's
say.
Everybody now. Listen, off with their heads.
But I will say this, and I've said this forever. I don't take the play calling duties away from the coach.
No.
He was brought here to call plays. If he can't effectively call plays,
then
you need to look in a different direction.
If he can't develop a quarterback or call plays, then he's not worth having.
Right.
Here.
So I don't think this is an ego thing with the coach. This is why he is here.
Right.
Yes.
Bob in Rosemont. Bob, say hi to Marky.
Hello, guys. Good afternoon, Mark.
Bobby,
how are
you doing?
Good. I think you're exactly right from the standpoint of he doesn't come out of that game if he's playing marginally well. Because basically what Nagy says is you're playing so disastrously. I've got 3 minutes and 30 seconds and three timeouts. I need to change the pace and see if Daniel can light a spark and somehow make something miraculous happen. Let's try an onside kick and see if we can salvage this season. You take him out based on his circumstances, and you open up this entire narrative about where he's at, why did you take him out, where's the injury, why wasn't he on the sideline riding a stationary bike if his hip was tightening up. All this nonsense comes up for no particular reason. Another point I wanted to make is this mental health break business. You're about to consider paying this quarterback possibly nine figures.
Right.
And you're basically a .500 team And instead of forcing this guy, who has problems supposedly with his footwork, to work through problems that reps are required to complete, and putting him through the paces of trying to put himself on target to show if he's got any mental toughness, you want to give him a couple of weeks off.
Nope.
And determine if that somehow is the solution to this problem. I think it's completely misguided. The season's a disaster. See what you got in this quarterback mentally, and then you can move from there in whatever direction, and I'm not even sure there is a direction to move. There's so many ways to go at this point.
Listen, I'm with you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
There have been plenty of quarterbacks that have had disastrous seasons, and they didn't go to the sideline. They played through it. It's part of the growth process. Don't talk to me about Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and all these other guys who weren't great in their third year. Don't sit their asses down. They play through the difficult times. Yep. They learn how to handle the adversity.
Eli did, didn't he? Didn't Eli take a bunch of crap in New York?
I believe so. Yeah.
And to the point I tried to make earlier was I believe that Nagy is sincere about this, but it's the wrong move is my point. Like, it goes back to his coaching again and inexperience with that position. Last year, what happened? He's just having so much fun running gimmick plays because everything else was going well.
Hey, I compared this to the 04 Cubs, the 03 Cubs that were so fun.
Pretty good.
And then they got the harsh out with the Bartman game and then that series. And then the next year, they were unlikable. Doesn't this remind you of that?
Like, it does.
It's a 180 from the fun plays to the coach thinking that we've got the right guy to all these stars on defense.
And it trickles down. There's so many other names. I mean, Anthony Miller, seriously.
What, he was doing the Memphis sign?
Yeah.
What was that?
I guess.
No, that's the Mitch sign. It's on Mitch.
It's the hat and everything else.
No, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, like, that interception's on Mitch. That's what he was telling the defense. Like, don't blame me. That's on Mitch.
No, but, I mean, he's got to shut up and produce. I mean, he's all style, no substance. Seriously.
Listen, it all comes down to the same thing in sports. You're lovable when you win. You're not so lovable when you lose.
Never, not quite like this, though, Waddle. This is so different. You know what I mean? This is teams have bad. Like you were saying about the development of a quarterback, I'll compare it with where people want to give Mitch a health break.
Right.
A mental health break. This is excessive.
No, that's
this
true.
This is more than just losing. This is...
I'm fine with the mental health break if you're certain that this is your answer for the future.
It's ridiculous.
You need him just to get right because we'll be fine because we know you're the answer. If you don't know he's the answer, then you don't get no timeouts. It's not nap time.
I think they know.
Okay, we're not going to get a snack. We're not going to lay down on a mat. We're going to. If the doctor gives you the green light, you got to play.
I think they've been in denial for the past several weeks. They've got to face it now. This is the wrong guy. He was overdrafted by your general manager, who's trying to go for a home run. It's a total whiff. And now the rest of the season, I'll be interesting. You know, the SI prediction looks like that's not even going to hold up. You know, they're not going to get 7 wins. They'll be lucky to get 5.
What does say?
So, more on the Bears, 312-332-3776. We did not play Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders went back to the Cutler story and sounded like it was 2011 all over again, saying that there was no injury at all. We'll play that for you coming up next.
Hey, here's an equation you're really going to like because it all adds up to big savings. Here's the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until December 8th, you can even get a $250 off coupon when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile. Each for $30 a month, you'll get Internet now with up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigabytes of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/savebig, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires eco bill and auto pay. Internet offer ends December 8th of this year. New performance Internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees are extra and subject to change after the agreement. Regular rates will apply.
All right, that's coming
good.
Up next.
I got to shorten that a little bit.
Deion Sanders.
You almost ran out of breath.
Yeah. with him saying there was no injury, and we want to see if Mark liked the keg stand as well.
Yeah.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
So, Chase Daniels, your starter next week against the Giants.
It's got to be. If I'm going to pull my starter out at the conclusion of the game and just give myself an out saying he has an injury, that's what I had to do. Uh-huh. That, we know that's a lie. That's not the truth. We didn't see the injury. You can't tell the public somebody's injured and we don't even see the injury and we watch the whole darn game. No, man. Quit playing with us. Just let us know the guy is not doing the job. We want to go elsewhere.
See, I don't think that's accurate. There, no. He was obviously banged up.
Yeah.
Now, was he injured is the different thing, and we never like to go there.
Maggie was very precise in saying there was a lot of pain, that there was
and
pain involved. Yeah.
Listen, I there are a lot of things that Matt has done this year that I question, okay? And, you know, we can have a conversation about the tactical decisions. I don't think Matt Nagy's a liar.
Oh,
you
no.
know what I mean?
That was my point when I first came in.
I believe he's hurt on this front. I believe there was an injury. Now, how severe an injury, that's, you know, for interpretation. But as we've said, I think you couple the hip soreness with a lack of confidence and a lack of production, and the decision was made, I believe.
Why the heart-to-heart, though, on the sideline, then? If you've determined that he's too hurt to win, why not just go, look, we rode you as far as we can. You gave a valiant effort. We got to go to Chase. Why does that need, like, this big group hug thing?
Because he's a sensitive kid. And he should be. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL. You got to get it together. But he's so sensitive, and that's their relationship. That's what Nagy said. I know this kid inside and out, and I felt I needed to give him the hug and whisper in his ear, you know? Mm. Which, you know, if you're a fan, member of the media, you're like, really? Come on. This is an adult big boy game.
Yes.
Chicago Cut brings you Mark Chiangreco every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:30 LaSalle and the River. It is absolutely awesome. David Flom and Matt Moore going to serve you up a steak. They've got seafood as well. Awesome appetizers. The sides are outstanding. Get the bacon appetizer,
oh,
too.
Unbelievable.
I had a bunch of relatives and friends, and they're all asking where to go because they were going to the Hawks game yesterday. Boom, they all went to Cut.
Nice.
Over 600 time. Wines. You want to splurge a little bit if you're a Pinot Noir guy? Try a bottle of Flowers.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Speaking of Pinot Noir, somebody on Twitter was really disturbed the way I pronounced penalized. I said penalized. They thought I said penal implant.
No, I don't think they said that.
You can say penalized.
Why do you say penalized first? Why didn't you? Why did you go to penalized?
We were in their conversation last week, and I said penalized. But somebody on Twitter said that freaks me out that you pronounce penalized
penalized. Your mind,
Well, see, I didn't cross mind, but it crossed that guy's mind.
I think we're going to look back and say that should have been like the. That should have been the precursor. That should have been the signal that this year wasn't going to go well.
I know. Yeah. He warned us. That was his, like, hey, guys, you're in for it this year. I'm telling you now. You may not think I'm telling you now, but here I am at the Cubs game. I'm telling you, you're going to get a bunch of this.
For the last six games, can we focus on getting the Cracker Jacks? Okay, I mean, that's what I want. For the next 6 weeks, can we please get more Cracker Jacks?
I want some peanuts. Maybe that was the Anthony Miller sign.
And it's not Jacks, it's Jack. Cracker Jack.
Really?
Look at the box.
Yeah, you served
okay, that's fine.
He got that one right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, I don't care if I never or ever get back. You can't make that mistake either.
We didn't even have a cue play.
Yeah, but maybe if Cracker Jack is one box, but what do you call two boxes of Cracker Jack? Cracker Jacks.
Two.
Maybe not. Maybe it's like deer.
Okay.
You know, Cracker Jack.
Two dicks. Wow. Where's that? What happened to that truck?
Bobby Bernstein when it was Dick Stockton and Dick Duran, I believe. Yes.
Hey, by the way, join Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. The Cats host Radford tomorrow night.
Go Cats.
Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team
are
on sale
online
now.
School, isn't
it? No. Radford's
been decent at times.
Come on, hey. It's right next to ITT.
Speaking of that, Notre Dame's playing Presbyterian, and we're carrying that coming up next.
Is that tonight?
Tonight, in 5 minutes.
Right now.
Yeah.
Catholics against the Presbyterians.
Thank you to Dan Weeder, Akeem Hicks, Al Michaels as well joined us again today to sort out
that's
the confusion.
So well, you see, they had to go back to him and Collinsworth at the end of the game to get clarification.
Yes. Finally.
What did he say? Mitch, or no, he said Chase Daniel is in for some reason.
He said, wow, it's fair game for the Chicago media.
And Mark Giangreco, of course. Mark, you're back on Wednesday, correct?
Yes, and by the way, I went to see Ford versus Ferrari yesterday. Oh, my God.
Lots of fast
cars. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to get a speeding ticket out of the garage. Absolutely.
You
anyway.
Why would you get a speeding ticket out of the garage? You were inspired by the movie to go fast?
Hey, I'm shifting all fours in my seat.
Right?
It was great. It's spectacular.
Yeah. Matt Damon, yeah!
Christian Bale, yeah! But it's so period correct because I'm focusing on every little thing. Every car, the clothing, the signs, everything is perfect.
The uniform,
1962, everything. Henry Ford, Detroit, 62 Falcon on the assembly line, boing. It was great.
That was the sound of you at the theater.
Yeah, it was just fabulous.
Thank you to Jeff Meller and Adam Abdallah. We've got Notre Dame basketball up next. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.